Child, touch my soul with your cries, and the music will know what we found. I hear a hundred goodbyes, but today I hear only one sound. The moment with it.
Love that song by Elvis Presley. Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show, A Dad's Point of View. You can email me questions, bruce@bruceallen.com. That's Bruce and Sallon, S-A-L-L-A-N. S like in suspicious minds. This segment of the Bruce Allen Show is sponsored by North Pier Fiduciary Management, a registered investment advisor in the group I trust and use to handle my money. You can reach them at npier.com. That's npier.com. Ask for their newsletter at info@npier.com. It's free. It's great. It is time for the Men's Room with Wayne Levine. Wayne is a life coach for men, couples, and families. He's the director of BetterMen.org in Agoura Hills, California, where he facilitates men's groups and men's retreats. BetterMen.org's mission is to help men be the best men, fathers, and husbands they can be. Welcome back to the show, Wayne.
Always a pleasure,
Bruce. We missed you last week while you were sunning in the desert.
Yes, I'm sure the mail that came in must have been overwhelming.
Mm-hmm. I say that, as I was sipping some coffee. I hope you had a good respite.
I'm ready to go. What do you got for me today, Bruce?
Well, I got our soaring economy, my son struggling to find a job and hopefully holding on to the one that he's just got, and my own concerns, which I'll discuss with Jim Scheinberg in Family Financial Matters about where the economy is heading and what our kids will be facing. And how's that for a start?
Fabulous. So we're hitting jobs and teenagers, are we?
Yes. And you certainly have some experience having raised a couple of teenagers that are no longer teenagers.
Well, first off, you know, in our family, we've talked about this before, for my kids to drive, they had to be working. That was a term. So they were able to cover their gas and that sort of thing. More than the money, it was about the responsibility. Already it was too easy for them to have a car. We had extra cars, right?
Right, right.
All those things didn't contribute to sort of them carving it all out for themselves. But at least there was that rule. No job, no car. And so because of that, my kids worked 16, you know, a couple years in high school. And
they were able to find jobs, though.
Well, yes,
how hard was it?
I know the economy is where it is. I know that there are people looking at those low-level jobs that never looked at them before. But I believe that there's always a job to be found, especially for the kids. And it's about persistence and being prepared and being able to work hard enough. And look, when I was a kid, I hustled to find a job. It wasn't as if they were just handing them out. And I had to. There were times when I had to find jobs quickly, and I had to take jobs I didn't like during high school and college. But I found them. And so when I talk to kids, you know, young people these days, I go, "There are jobs out there. You just have to be clever. You have to want it. You have to seek them out, and maybe think, you know, outside the box a bit."
Well, I agree with that. And in fact, in my column, I suggest some specific tools to employ that are basically what you've just said. The irony, though, that I find is how my parents always expected that I would do better, and that my parents, and I say that loosely, I don't literally mean my parents, but our parents, would say things like, "It was so much harder for me. You have it so much easier." And I find myself thinking, if not saying to my own boys, that they actually have it harder than I did. To get into certain colleges, much harder than when I got into college. To find these jobs, I was a paper boy at 13. Well, those jobs aren't available. I was a camp counselor and they paid me. Now you pay to be a camp counselor. I'm not taking anything away from your declaration that originality, entrepreneurship, persistence is still a requirement. But the odd thing is I actually believe it is harder for them, and we're among the first generations to say that.
Yeah, well, you know, you and I have different world views on things.
I know. I have the right one and you have the wrong one. And
exactly.
Right being the operative word, actually.
You're definitely right of me. But I don't think about those things, Bruce. I don't see the world that way, as if it's harder for them than it was for us. it's different. It's different for them. Things have changed. Things that were simple for us are now not. Things that were available to us are not available now. But it's not as if they lost it. You know, they have.
Yeah, they don't know anything different.
Right. That's they have a different true. Life. The world is completely different in terms of the internet and what they do with their thumbs on their little phones. I mean, this was not our life. So the opportunities available to them didn't even exist for us in terms of entrepreneurship.
That's true.
It's a vastly different world. So I'm not fighting through that when I have that discussion. I'm not battling my own sense of sort of lamenting about things having changed. This is your world. Like, as I talk to any of the men about their issues that they bring in, this is your situation, and you need to figure out a solution, and let me see if I can help you. But it's about dealing with the what we have in front of us and making the best of it.
Well, you know, it's interesting. That is the advice that, in fact, you have given any number of men in my presence, which is, and an addendum to that is, don't bring your own agenda or your own issues to someone else. And you are more or less, and on the break you did it directly, calling me on bringing my own fears to my son's world. And I think that's an incredibly valid, not only criticism, but what you said prior was an incredibly valuable, is an incredibly important context in which to support our kids, which is be clear that it's a different world, but it's their world, and comparing it to something that's gone is irrelevant.
Yes, as your boy struggles with his employment and dealing with the incompetency and the irrationality and the unpredictability of the work world and the people in it, that's his journey. He needs to learn that. And as you mentioned in the column, if he wasn't showing up well, then he needs to learn that too, right? So he can do a better job next time.
Yes, and I know he's learned that. And I suppose my tendency to get too involved, which you've often called me on, is a combination of love and just getting too involved. I just would like to see a little less pain. I know we learn from pain, but over and over again at this point in his life, it's just hard for me to watch without having a degree of maternal sympathy, so to speak.
Well, let me just argue this point.
Please.
I don't think it's about love.
Okay, go.
It's just about you and your needs. And I say that as a father who has, you know, projected his issues and problems and wants and desires onto his kids. It's not about love. We love our kids. But doing what's best for them oftentimes can be very uncomfortable for us.
Well, I understand that. I agree. Ironically, my wife and I discussed exactly that on a walk yesterday because we want something, our younger son to do something he doesn't want to do, and he's going to rebel, and we said to each other, well, so what? This is something he has to do, and our job is to be the best mom and dad we could be, not his buddy. So I understand that, and maybe I'm just not employing it in all aspects of my parenting.
Well, who is?
Yeah,
you know.
I'm doing the best I can, which is all you ask of me. Be the best you can be.
No, I want you to be the best that I think you can be.
Okay.
Those are two different things.
Okay, that's good. That's good. I'd like to reach your standard someday. Wayne,
well,
we are almost out of time, so not to blow your opportunity for a plug, do tell us what's going on with you and where our listeners can reach you.
Well, there's about 5 or 6 weeks before our men's weekend, our annual retreat in Santa Barbara, and it's not too late for men to grab their nuts and make a commitment to do something that could really begin an amazing change in their lives to be the best men, fathers, and husbands that they can be.
Nuts, by the way, means non-negotiable, unalterable terms. For those of you in the gutter, get out of it.
Well, it means that, too, but I was actually referring to the other thing.
Well, I was trying to be politic, Wayne.
Yes. Well, listen, sometimes we just have to grab them and take a risk and be courageous, and men understand that language.
And your website is?
Bettermen.org, and you can find out about the retreat, you can find out how to get a copy of my book, and about the coaching that I provide men.
And it's good coaching, as you heard live and unrehearsed just now. Thank you, Wayne. A week away gave you that much more chutzpah just to go at me, and I actually really appreciate it.
I'm so glad I got that rest, Bruce.
Good. I want to thank North Pier for sponsoring this segment of the Bruce Salen Show, Dad's Point of View. It's time for a break. You can tweet me at Bruce Salen anytime or write at Bruce@BruceSalen.com. We'll be back with a special guest.
I'm gonna take 2 weeks, gonna have a fine vacation.